in its 10th straight year, with never a single string attached and carrying nobody's water.
All right, hour number two here of the broadcast on a Monday afternoon. This is an interesting conversation, and as we are apt to do from time to time when a 2 o'clock guest has got some... I still have some questions for Megan, because I think there's a story behind the story here that we're kind of rolling into.
Delivering to you an honest pursuit of the truth, the Dan York Show on News Talk 630, WPRO, and 99.7 FM.
All right. Megan Andiu is the founder and director of her own business that she can't start. It's located in the Grant Building on Main Street, which is, part of what I think is, there's some nice renaissance going on in the city of Pawtucket, by the way, and this is one of those buildings that I think is in the midst of that. Won't you agree?
The owners are trying to revitalize the city. They're doing a really good job. Yeah. They put on Pawtucket, Rocktucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of cool things going on there. And so you wanted to start a business because there, because... You're a Pawtucket resident, your husband, who is a resident at Marion Hospital, correct?
Yep.
Is nearby. Do you live in the city proper?
I live in the city.
Okay. You think it's accessible to the marketplace of people who would need your services?
It's a safe location. There's a parking lot.
Okay. The business is called, folks, and I'm not going to, I always use the Jeopardy warning. For long-time listeners, I might get an email and say, "Damn, why?" Because you know what, this is a news issue, and we're not afraid of the word. Just letting you buy time because, okay, the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, but you would call it the CSPH.
Mm-hmm.
You would, the blinds are closed in the office that is the window. How much square footage, by the way, does your office have?
Between 400 and 500.
All right, so it's a typical medical office type of setting.
Correct.
You have a seminar room of some kind, or
it's all one room.
It's all one big room. Right. So you've got chairs in there for when people come in, a dozen people at a time or something for a seminar of some kind, that kind of thing.
Yep. I have my bookcases. I have my desk.
The eventual growth plan for the business would be that your husband, who is a general practitioner or will be, in internal medicine type of thing, or
family care.
Meaning what? Pediatrics?
Covering your family practitioner, your family doctor.
Okay, so...
Primary care.
General practitioner type of thing. He plans on joining you in your business to handle what might be the medical aspects of...
Correct.
...people's dysfunction, whether it be impotence, I guess...
Hormones.
All that kind of thing.
Right.
Has he specialized in that? I mean, is he working toward a specialization?
He's working towards a specialization in that, in reproductive health.
Okay, is there a specific doctoral...
you can take courses to have a focus in sexual medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no title, though, like urologist, neurologist type of thing.
No.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Right. But he's, he looks at this as what? Is this the kind of doctor he always wanted to be? Or did you have an influence on him when...
I had an influence on him.
You guys met where?
At URI.
Okay.
So I was his RA.
You're his resident assistant?
Yes.
So you were regulating his dorm behavior?
I was.
Were you involved in his dorm behavior?
No. We did not start dating until 8 years after we graduated.
Yeah. Sure. So you were his RA. So you're older than him.
I am.
Significantly.
A year.
Okay. Yeah. You see, when I went to school, the RAs were like 4 years older than us, 5 years older than us. If I had an RA my age, I'd be like, shut up. I'm bringing this case of beer in, like you were just saying. I'm trying to paint the picture. He's a serious professional. He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
And you have a degree from URI in. With a human sexuality minor.
Mm-hmm. It's a Bachelor of Science.
A Bachelor of Science in Human Development.
Human Development and Family Studies.
Okay. Which is a legitimate degree from the University of Rhode Island.
Yep.
And you have achieved the certification in, again, it's called...
ASECT is the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists.
And that's a serious professional organization.
It takes at least five years before you can become certified.
Okay.
Minimum.
It, All right, let me go down the checklist, because I'm trying to figure out why in God's name you can't open up your damn business, all due respect. You've got, there'll be no nudity. There will be no sex practice.
Mm-mm.
There will be no massage.
Nope.
There will be no, everything is either an academic and or tutorial and or forum and or
medical.
Educational medical setting.
Correct.
You do have gadgets, toys, whatever, that are there as go-to, here's what the new world of sexuality is all about.
Right.
This is how you use them. Let's bring the practice pelvis over here.
Correct.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Sally's not dropping her drawers and saying, okay, where do I insert this?
No.
Okay, so then, and there's no, you know, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, going to come screaming out of the office. So there's people walking by
or
thinking,
goodness,
what the
hell's
going on in there?
Absolutely no.
Okay. All right.
The neighbors, all the neighbors have given me their full support that are in the Grant building.
The people in the store, I mean, the neighbor stores are all about you being in there.
Yes.
Okay.
They have petitions in their office.
The city of Pawtucket's, the mayor's office and the zoning people are suggesting that there's no zoning for education there. And, but you know that this is all about the term sex and pleasure.
Yes.
But there's more to it because, you know, I would think that they'd be able to get by that too. By the way, do you have to call it that? If I was consulting you, I might be saying, why don't you dumb down the name a little bit?
I've made an offer to the mayor's saying, you know, if there's any way that I can work with you, I'd be happy to. But they have not taken me up on the offer.
They didn't say call it something else.
No. I really...
They didn't ask you, do you have to call it that?
No.
Did the mayor told you that, he, more or less, and I'm rushing through last hour's conversation to set the scene so we can move on to some other things here. The mayor more or less suggested to you that it's a conservative community and the business just wasn't well suited.
That the community probably wouldn't support it.
Does he know that you can sue his ass to Kingdom Come for something like that? And that you could own the city of Pawtucket for saying something stupid like that?
No, I don't know. I don't think that he does.
Well, he should. You got a lawyer?
Yes.
Can you tell us who it is?
Mike Horan.
I don't know Mike.
The ACLU is most likely being brought in at this point.
Oh, you're going to bring the ACLU in?
I think so.
I hate the ACLU. I really do. I mean, 2 out of 10, I'm with them. But you know what? This might be one of the two.
I know.
The
city
of Providence has to know that the marketplace will determine whether or not your services are too conservative. You know, whether your register rings, as long as you're not violating any decency standards in the place, will determine whether or not it succeeds or not.
Correct.
Okay. So you testified on behalf of what? Maintaining indoor prostitution as it exists here in the state?
I testified not that I was in disagreement of arresting sex trafficking victims, because I do not believe that that is the way to help them.
So are you in line with some of the Senate holdup in this bill that is languishing in the legislature at this point?
I mean, I'm not a key player.
Have you been a consultant to any legislators?
No, I have not.
What caused you to testify on that particular subject?
Based on the research that I have read, it is not an effective...
So you did it on your own?
Yes.
You decided, you know, smart little Megan is going to just go up there and do her thing, and, you know, I'm saying that because that's how you were treated. That's how you're being treated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this little whippersnapper thinks she knows all about human sexuality and how dare her. You decided that you were going to go up there because it was a public policy issue that you wanted to exercise your First Amendment rights on.
Correct.
Did you have any other motive in doing that?
No.
Do you have anybody that you know or are friends with who are in the sex trafficking business?
No.
Are you friends or do you hang out with or do you employ or are you a prostitute?
No.
So how long did you testify for?
Probably 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Probably.
What did you say, if you can remember?
I said arresting sex trafficking victims is not the way to combat sex trafficking. And that what this really has to do with is our culture's fear of sex. And we think if we just eradicate everything, it'll go away, as opposed to really addressing the issues.
Thank you for your time. And you walked off?
Yep. One of the officials said, I don't think that perhaps we should be analyzing what our culture says is...
Okay, so you took them in a direction they were uncomfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell them who you were?
Yes.
Did you tell them what your degree was in?
I did.
Did you tell them what your certification is in?
I did.
Did you tell them what business you're trying to start?
At that point, I had not opened the center. This was in June. And
How long have you been preparing to open the center?
Since May. I signed my lease in May.
That was when the thought to open up this kind of business began when?
Oh, I would say I started seriously thinking about it about a year ago.
Right. You have been for 10 years or so a...
Sex educator.
Sex educator.
Mm-hmm.
Defined as someone who would do what?
I go around and provide workshops at hospitals and college campuses on various sexual issues.
Okay.
So the fun and frisky to the more clinical and serious.
Okay. The advocates to close the prostitution loophole
mm-hmm.
don't like you.
I haven't ever talked to any of them.
Donna Hughes is a professor at your alma mater.
Yes.
Who has become the lead voice against, quote, human trafficking and the prostitution loophole that we have in our laws right now. She's been here. She has. She's quick to answer our calls. She's quick to debate. I'm on her email list and get probably two or three a day from her as she, you know, sends stories of comp stories of things that relate to the battle to end indoor prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that I'm inclined to agree with her that indoor prostitution is a pox on the city that prostitution is. I certainly understand, though, the arguments that it never go away and da 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 da. What is? Let me ask you this before I get your more thoughts on what you think about that. What is it that She has been a vocal opponent of your business, correct?
Correct.
Why?
I don't know. I've never spoken to her. I've never had a conversation with her.
She publicized her thoughts?
She publicized her thoughts in the Providence Journal. She sent
an op-ed piece? What was it?
An editorial. Yes, an op-ed piece.
Do you know what it was? Dudes, can you guys look that up?
Rhode Island's Carnival of Prostitution.
That's what she called it?
Mm-hmm.
Your business? Or she referenced your business?
It was in reference to the testifying is where all of it started. So testifying against the bill.
Okay.
So that's where she started throwing mud at me.
Do you think that she is part and parcel to holding up your business from starting?
I do.
In what way?
I think that an email went out alerting them with properly placed quotation marks, which she's so fond of, to the city council members. And people jumped before asking any questions.
She took you out of context? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. She's done that with my job, with my profession. She continuously puts quotation marks around sex educator.
In other words, there is no such thing as a sex educator type
mm-hmm.
of thing?
Yes.
Has she charged you with being involved in any illegal or nefarious behavior?
Yes, she has.
In public?
I don't know if in public, but online.
Online. Well,
yes.
That's in public. What has she suggested that you're involved with?
She's stated that I engage in illegal behaviors like prostitution.
And what is the basis for her suggesting that?
The basis is the fact that I have done sex work awareness in terms of talking about sex work that I've testified. I've never had a conversation with her.
Does she think you kind of weave in and out of the prostitution business? Is that what she's suggesting?
From what I've seen, she flat out calls me a prostitute.
Has she done that?
To my face? No.
But in writing?
From what I've seen, yes.
Online?
Yes. I don't know if it was necessarily her, but it was...
So she has characterized you as a prostitute, and you've never met her, and you've never showed her your business, you haven't explained to her what your degree is in, and you haven't explained what your family business plan is with your husband?
Who is an
internist at a local hospital and seeking to become a GP?
Nope.
Jesus. 3:21, the Gem Plumbing On Time Traffic Center from the Burger King Regional Traffic... 3:27. It sometimes it happens when somebody comes in here, it's like, and what? And what? And what? Don't you feel like I'm having an and what?
Yes,
here?
I do.
You know, and what? And you know, we didn't have a 3-hour briefing before we did this show. It seems like we should have, because this story just keeps getting deeper and deeper. Let me take a call or two, and then after the 3:30 headlines, when I got some more time, I will review Professor Hughes's op-ed piece on Wednesday, June 24th, in the Journal. Under the headline, Rhode Island's Carnival of Prostitution, where she refers to my guest, Megan Andiu, who is here and who is trying to start a business called Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health in Pawtucket and is being stopped. April in Pawtucket, you're on WPRO 99.7 FM. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Megan, I just wanted to let you know that you are a inspiration, and I appreciate you deeply.
Thank you.
Because what you're doing, and for you to be so vocal about it, is something that people just don't know a lot about. And I've been in and out of college. I can never find what I want to do. And sexuality was the one course that did spark my interest, but there was no further to go with it. But knowing that there is a future and that there is an avenue to pursue, I mean, thank you so much. This is something that is so important to everyone, young and old, and so people don't understand that sexuality touches every aspect of your life.
Thank you. I'm blushing.
And it is very important. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Well, there'll be internships available if she can open up the door.
Yes, there will be.
You know, I'm guessing.
Yes.
We'll have time to get into this after the 3:30 headlines, but on Wednesday, June 24th, Donna Hughes, who has been here as a guest on this broadcast and who is one of the lead advocates against prostitution and indoor prostitution here in the state, writes an op-ed that says, Rhode Island's Carnival of Prostitution. And she was, I remember reading this now, because I remember Tara Hurley was mentioned in it, and Tara was here too. She was the filmmaker who was suggesting, well, I don't even know how to characterize what she was suggesting, but she chronicled the life, in
documentary Happy Endings.
Documentary Happy Endings, but I was going to say in the perspective of, I think, three massage parlor workers. So she's going on and she's kind of like, you're not going to believe the kind of people that testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And she writes, then a tattooed woman, calling herself a sexologist and sex educator, in quotes, spoke against the bill. She's also a reporter for a prostitutes magazine called Spread. Parentheses, I couldn't make this stuff up. You did an article in that magazine.
Yes, I did.
We'll explain what that was all about. And just have Megan explain that. Wow. 3:30. I'm not wowing that she, wrote for this magazine. What I'm wowing, this has become a vicious macro fight. You're caught in the middle of a huge, huge battle here, aren't you? Yes. Is your microphone still on? The answer was?
Yes, I am.
3:30 in the newsroom. We'll come right back. Carolyn, what's going on?
Dan, thanks. This update is brought to you by Swisher Hygiene, protecting businesses flu season.
Behind the story, you're listening to it. The Dan York Show on News Talk 630, WPRO, and 99.7 FM.
Here on the Dan York Show, weekdays 2 till 6. My guest is Megan Andiu. She is trying to start a business in Pawtucket, which would be called the American... I got a certification from the American College of Sexologists and from the American Association of Sexuality Educators. But her business would be called Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health in the Grant Building. She's all set up, ready to go. In other words, if you got the approval today, you could open up the door right now.
I could,
now.
Yes.
Okay. How much money did you put into the business, by the way, by now?
About $8,000.
Okay. So you're the typical entrepreneur who is trying to start a business. It is a professional practice in your mind and in your positioning.
Correct.
It's a provocative title. It's a provocative field.
Correct.
I mean, it just is. I mean, provocative in the sense that, I mean, people go, ooh, you know, right?
That's why I named my business, Oh, Megan, because that's what my mom would always say to me. Oh, Megan, can't believe you just said that word.
Well, how does mom feel about what you do for a living?
They were a little taken aback at first because good girls don't talk about sexuality issues, but they have, this is 12 years later, they have really come to my aid and are big champions for the work that I do.
Well, in the same way that mental health has been positioned against physical health for parity,
mm-hmm.
I would think that there's probably a comparison for sexual health as well, right?
Yes.
Right? Sexual health is kind of on its own yikes island,
yes.
isn't it? Although there isn't a person alive who doesn't want to have sexual health.
And I think
even,
that the,
you know, from the time that they recognize their sexuality until such time as they croak, they'd all love, you know, they'd all love to be healthy that way.
And generally our culture doesn't want to talk about sexuality unless there's a dysfunction. Like right now, it's okay to talk about dysfunctions about it.
Well, but if I see another 4-hour, you know what commercial, you know, in the middle of NFL or golf when I'm watching them, or even you know, family viewing on television, I'm so tired of seeing that. Okay, I get that I need to be comfortable with this, but do I have to see these commercials over and over and over again? Well, you know what? Yeah, I'm sure you have mixed feelings about that. Well, I don't know if you do. I have mixed feelings about it. I get that it should be treated as any other kind of broken arm and or broken genital ability to perform. I get that.
Right.
I get that. But sexuality and sexual treatment, I think, has got some of the same hang-up
Absolutely.
Marketing issues that mental health does versus a broken knee.
Absolutely.
Okay, so...
And that's my job, is to talk about it, to change one, you know, to let people know it's okay to talk about this stuff.
So this is a really interesting conversation because you got yourself involved in a full brawl, didn't you, in the middle of this whole prostitution
thing.
If Rhode Island wasn't dealing with an indoor prostitution debate here, you may have just been able to open up your business. Your biggest mistake, and I say that only in quotes, I'm not suggesting that you screwed up, but your biggest mistake was to testify at that hearing, wasn't it?
I think so.
30 seconds is what ended your whole deal, didn't it?
It's made because, it a challenge,
because
yes.
Because it got the attention of Professor Hughes.
Correct.
Who belittles you in a... op-ed piece that was originally printed on June 24th of this year, Carnival of Prostitution, where she talks about the human rights disaster that Rhode Island is heading for and the kind of people who were promoting the continuation of indoor prostitution as it exists in Rhode Island today.
Correct.
Including filmmaker Tara Hurley, who has been in here, who has done a major battle with Donna Hughes, a 53-year-old Korean woman who needed a translator to speak, saying she worked as a receptionist at one of these facilities. Then she writes, then a man reeking of cigarette smoke and other odors came forward. He was identified to me as a pimp. He claimed credit for the growth of the spa brothels in Rhode Island for his now deceased wife. And then she writes, then a tattooed woman calling herself a quote sexologist and sex educator, end quote, spoke against the bill. She's also a reporter for a prostitutes magazine called Spread. All right, explain that, the Spread thing. Spread is what?
Spread is a sex workers magazine. And so,
and define sex worker.
Yeah, sex worker is a term that's used to define someone who makes money off of sexuality issues. So
that's this is retarded. Your industry needs to clean its. I don't even know what your industry.
Well, there's lots of different magazines.
The term sex worker. Mm-hmm. If you told me
right.
that you were a sex worker, mm-hmm. I'd think you're a prostitute.
Well, that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation.
But. Right? I mean, if you told me you were a sex worker, I would think you're a prostitute.
Well, what would you think if I said I was a sex educator?
I would think you're a professional.
Okay.
So what the hell are you writing in a magazine called Spread that is a... Well, let me not cop an attitude here, because there are obviously things I don't understand.
The article that...
Is Spread a trade magazine, for lack of a better term?
Yes. Would I say that this is one of the clinical magazines that are journals? No. This is like a magazine. It's a magazine that is written by sex workers.
Prostitutes. You
know, there's a small percentage.
Some prostitutes.
Yeah. There's various different types of sex workers. So, like, Dr. Ruth could be considered a sex worker.
Okay. Well, Dr. Ruth shouldn't be called a sex worker. She should be called something that elevates the expertise. Like, you shouldn't be called a sex worker. Do you consider yourself a sex worker?
It depends on how you define it.
Well, exactly. But isn't that you want to talk about a marketing problem of enormous proportion? It's kind of like for everybody of your educational
background,
makeup. You know, how stupid can you be to operate in a world that is already characterized as streetwalkers?
So when I identify myself, as a board certified sex educator and sexologist.
Gotcha. Because that's why she's putting that in quotes.
Correct.
Because she's making fun of the term.
Right.
I don't know if she's making fun of the term because of the term itself or because you try to call yourself one. I'm not exactly sure which.
You know, you don't actually have to become certified to be a sex educator. Anyone can call themselves. There's no regulation panel, but I wanted to be legitimate in terms of the work that I did, so I went for the certification process.
Okay. What did you? Are you a reporter for this thing?
No,
she mischaracterized it. Didn't she?
I was just writing an article in terms of the Rhode Island prostitution battle. What was going on?
Is that the first time you've written there?
Yes.
Is it the last time you've written there?
I haven't offered, nor have they asked.
But why did you decide to make that? Why did you write that article?
They contacted me and asked, since I lived in Rhode Island, if I would be interested in writing like what was going on in the current state.
And you were interested simply because you were interested?
It's a very interesting conversation to talk about in terms of like what can adults do? What can consenting adults do or not do?
Okay. And so your take on the indoor prostitution, for the record, is...
I don't think that arresting sex trafficking victims is the way to help sex trafficking
victims. What about Johns, for lack of a better term? I hate the term.
What about
customers? Should they be arrested?
I fundamentally believe that when adults make decisions, it's consensual. And I am not the bedroom police. Like, I don't want to be going in there and going, that's appropriate, that's not appropriate. Because everyone has different definitions of what's appropriate and what's not. That's my position.
Okay. By the way, that's a fair position. People have it. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, involved in the industry. Believe me, when I open up the phones on indoor prostitution, it's split down the middle. I mean, people go, I get that. Okay. But you've crossed the hair on the rear end of the professor now, haven't you?
Inadvertently, yes. I haven't ever spoken to the professor.
Do you believe that she is working against you behind the scenes in addition to what she's written about you?
I think that she's using me as a decoy on some level.
Meaning?
I think that for some reason she's decided that she's going to push me as someone to distract people from issues. I don't know. I'm speculating.
Do you think that she's been in contact with anybody in Pawtucket City Hall going back to the original conversation, which is you're trying to open up this business?
Oh, I've seen an email. Yes.
An email that says what?
An email that she sent to City Hall members.
That said what?
Said, hello, there's a sexual pleasure, in quotes, and sexual rights center opening in Pawtucket, and then had the link to my site, and then signed it.
And do you think that is what caused the brass in Pawtucket City Hall?
Absolutely.
To have a semi-heart attack about this whole thing?
Absolutely.
And do you think this woman is more or less at the table for your business plan to be ruined?
At this point, the way that it looks like is that she does not want adults to be able to access sex education or anything sexuality.
Why haven't you contacted her and said, lady, you don't understand what I'm doing?
I don't like fighting with people. My job is to help people. I'm not going to go chasing after someone.
Yeah, but she's killing your business plan. Are you somebody who lays down?
No, I've hired a lawyer. I've hired a lawyer at this point.
Are you going to sue her?
I'm having a meeting with my lawyer tomorrow.
You know, because as I told you off the air, I don't want to run you into a situation of complete discomfort. But we could get Donna Hughes on the line now and say, Donna, what the hell are you doing?
I would prefer not to talk to her.
At this juncture. But you know what? Your lawyer ought to set up a meeting, like, tout suite.
Yeah.
You know, before any kind of legal action is considered.
Correct.
I mean, it's because if that's what's going on and you've become entangled... We've already explained the nature of what your business is going to be, and it's nothing to do with massage parlors or happy endings. No one's getting a happy ending.
No one is getting a happy ending in the center.
They may go home and get one. Right?
You know, sexual pleasure increases your sexual health. A new study just came out about that.
But I mean, the point is that people will learn how to, husbands and wives are going to be in a position to be in better sexual health and all that kind of
thing. That's right. I just got a really nice email from a woman who said that she credits me for saving her marriage, that she didn't go through with the divorce because she learned to become more comfortable with sexuality.
Wow. All right. I'll take a couple more calls and have a final few thoughts with Megan. This is a Playhouse 90, man. This is crazy. This is a bunch of innuendo and rumor surrounding who you are and what you are and what you want to do and what you want to accomplish with the smut argument that exists in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. 3:47, the Gem Plumbing on Time Traffic Center and the Burger King Regional Traffic Update. 2:52. You know, this is one of these conversations. The more I learn about what Megan does, the more fascinating this is. And I know I said I want to take a few phone calls. I might have to hold them up here for a second. You have been characterized by this professor in a way that you think is unfair, I'm guessing.
Correct.
Tell me what you just told me about the professional work that you do in the medical field.
I train medical providers how to be sex positive medical providers and also how to perform pelvic exams. How to fit diaphragms. How to work with rape victims.
I've always wondered about male gynecologists, honest to God.
I work with them.
And, you know, my wife has had, we had one guy who's phenomenal, you know, mm-hmm. all the way through birth. And I always think, why does a guy decide to do that kind of work? And how do they train? They train on dummies, correct?
No, in some schools they train on dummies, yes.
You provide another kind of service, correct?
Correct.
Tell everybody what you do.
So I work as a gynecological teaching associate where I train medical providers how to do pelvic exams with the use of my body. So I teach them how to put the speculum into the vagina, how to...
Okay, so everything they have to do...
I teach them.
You're like, and you say... Okay, right. Oh, don't, not there, because that hurts.
Yep.
And this is what will happen when you do that.
Correct.
And she will react poorly.
Correct. And I
grade
them.
Or she will bleed, or she will be, or you will hurt her, or you, or that's discomforting.
Yep.
And you teach this at Boston University?
Boston University, Yale, Brown, UConn.
Those are highest level viable medical institutions.
Correct.
Why wouldn't that service be important? Did you start this business?
No.
This has been happening.
This has been, it's very small amount of women that do this. It's been, to my knowledge, going on since the 70s, but I'm sure it took place before that. But since the 70s, but not all medical schools.
It only makes sense.
Right. To get feedback in the moment, because a dummy isn't going to tell you when something's right. Like when speculums break inside of me, I have to give them feedback about how you can't do that to a real patient.
Is that what is being characterized as prostitutional behavior? I hope not.
I don't know what she's speculating.
All right, I'm up against a break. I'll be right back. We might summarize. I have to figure out where I want to go here with Megan. This is a fascinating day. We'll be right back. Stay with us. 3:58 here on the Dan York Show. Megan Andiu is my guest. You have medical professionals in the reproductive world who will stand up to the credibility of the work that you do.
Correct.
Megan, you got to get some of those people to publicly stand up for the work that you do, and this will be game, set, match, over. And Mayor Doyle will walk away with his tail between his legs.
I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, that's all. Forget the lawyers. All due respect to your lawyer. This is a public relations battle that you have going on here, as opposed to a legal battle. You simply need people to understand who you are as a professional, what your business is, and what it's not.
I've explained that to the city councilmen, and they've come on our side. It's the mayor hasn't.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When honchos at esteemed hospitals step up and say, by the way, I think you're going to be in better shape. We're going to talk to Professor Hughes. I know you do not want to confront her, and I will respect that when we come back from the 4 o'clock news. So for now, your guest stint is completed.
Thank you.
We'll talk some more, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Megan Andiu is got herself in a jackpot, all because of 30 seconds of testimony, it seems to me. All right, 4 o'clock news time. Stay with us on the Dan York Show. And honest to God, you know what I'm really looking forward to is general audience reaction to this conversation, because this is quite the interesting one. It really is. I had in studio for the first 2 hours Megan Andiu. She is trying to start a business, which she would be calling the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health in Pawtucket. And we rolled in through the conversation. She has been thwarted by Providence City Hall. She has a handful of counselors there who she says now are beginning to support her now that they understand better what it is she's trying to accomplish. It is a resource center. She is not selling any sex aid. She is not conducting any sexual activity in the business. That's what her game plan is. And she intends to merge with her husband, who's soon to be on his own as a general practitioner and is doing intern work at Miriam Hospital right now. For the medical application, she asserts that amongst the challenges that she has had is some things that have been written about her by URI professor Donna Hughes, who has become pretty popular around here for her fight against prostitution and her attempt to close the loophole, along with other key legislators, in the indoor prostitution business. Donna has been a guest here in the past. Now, I kept Megan around. Megan, because she's gotten some advice that she should not engage Professor Hughes, I'm going to respect that. I asked Megan to stick around in case I got to follow up with anything that the professor asserts here. So that's how we're going to do this on the fly. Let me go to the newsmaker line and see what the big to-do seems to be. Professor Hughes, Dan York, good to speak to you again.
Good to be here by telephone.
Have you had... in addition to what you've written in your Wednesday, June 24th bed piece, the Rhode Island Carnival of Prostitution, where you talked about the testimony offered by people at the Senate Judiciary Committee on the indoor prostitution issue. In addition to that, is it true that you've penned off on online or on email some thoughts about Ms. Andiu and what she's trying to do with her business in Pawtucket? And further, have you had any conversations or influence with Providence City Hall, I'm sorry, Pawtucket City Hall, in thwarting that business?
Okay. Well, one of the things I think has been really interesting about this debate around the prostitution bill, and that is it really has taken the mask off a lot of people and really exposed a lot about who they are and what they're doing. I would call these people actually by the name they call themselves, and that is they call themselves the sex radicals, and Megan Andiu is one of them. So I would say that this has more than is broader than just Megan Andiu and her sex center.
What is a sex radical?
Well, there are people that don't want any kind of restrictions on any kind of sexual behavior or activity. They really want to remove all laws from all sexual activity, and that includes things like whipping, bondage, sadomasochism, probably a lot of things that you probably wouldn't want me to mention on your public radio show.
Well, listen, believe me, I'm so far into this now at this point, I feel like, you know, I might as well just throw the baby out with the bathwater, but those things that you refer to, which I think would fall into the category of domination,
mm-hmm.
Are things that there's plenty of very legal consenting behavior between adults who think that stuff is kind of cool. And in modern adult sexuality, there are people who engage in that on a fairly regular and allegedly normal and healthy basis. So what is your point in bringing that up?
Well, I think that there are a lot of people that don't necessarily think that beating people up, tying people up is cool, whether there are some people consenting or not. One of the things that Megan brags about is going to college campuses and giving talks. And I've looked some of those things up, and there's photographs of her whipping and spanking students on campus during presentations. Is that really the kind of thing that we want to advocate as healthy sexuality? She has one particular presentation online, in which she talks about what is called breath play. What that is choking and asphyxiation during sex. And we know that there are a lot of young people that are dying because of erotic asphyxiation, and a well-known celebrity just recently. This is the kind of things that she considers sex education and promoting pleasure, and I don't.
Okay. Now, while you've brought up some discussion that you and I, Donna, Professor, would agree are not, I can publicly state for the record that none of what you have talked about is my bag, okay? Mm-hmm. So let me just say that for the record in case you're wondering or anybody else wants. But again, it fits into a category of First Amendment rights that people have and freedom of pursuit and happiness, especially when it comes to married folks and any other kinds of relationships that exist out there. You may not like it, but it's not it certainly does not fall into the category, unless there are assaults and or physical damage that is done to somebody unwillingly, that fall into something that could be investigated for assault and battery. It really is none of our business. So if that is your major problem with Ms. Andiu and her business, if in fact that kind of interest in sexuality comes up in her center, along with, you know, the 72-year-old man who is having trouble, you know, reliving his life 20 years ago, but would like to inject some excitement into his marriage of 52 years, and walks out happy, healthy, and his heartbeat is and his blood pressure down 10 points because of it. You know, what about that are you suggesting is no good for this community? And have you, as I asked before, tried to influence Pawtucket City Hall with your opinions on this?
I have not tried to influence Pawtucket City Hall. They have drawn their own conclusions
Have you talked to Mayor Doyle about this?
No, I have not.
Ever?
No, never.
Have you sent email to anybody at Providence City Hall about her?
At Providence City Hall? No, I haven't.
I'm in Pawtucket City Hall. I mean, you've had no communication, electronic, telephonic, or personal, or through any kind of liaison of any kind with Pawtucket City Hall in an effort to suggest that this business should not be allowed in the city.
I have not expressed any opinions whatsoever about the center to anyone in Pawtucket.
Period.
That's right. I have not taken any action other than what I've written in my bulletins about her, about her business.
What have you written?
I've written that that she's a prostitute, although she doesn't like to. It's sort of interesting. When you use those kind of terms, she doesn't like it. She prefers to call herself a foot fetish model, and she's a dominatrix. She holds classes on sadism, masochism, torture, I also found out that, she was trying to teach some really controversial things to high school students.
Like?
And lost her grant.
What grant?
Well, she had a grant, through Planned Parenthood, that would enable her, this is in another state,
where?
In another state.
Where?
I actually can't remember whether it was Massachusetts or Connecticut. She was starting to teach really controversial things, even at the high school level. She talks about wanting to teach even preteens.
Preteens what?
Her version of sex education. Okay?
Are you suggesting that she's trying to teach preteens how to be a dominatrix?
I don't know.
Well, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that she and a lot of the other sex radicals do have an agenda that has to do with changing the culture to make any kind of sexual expression, including the things that I've talked about, acceptable.
Well, look,
I actually think that the Pawtucket Town Hall and City Council and other city councils have a right to say we do not want that in our community.
Well, you and I can debate what City Hall should and should not do, but you have a very strong opinion about her.
I have a strong opinion about all the sex radicals and those who want to justify prostitution. When my research, years of research has shown how really harmful this is.
Well, listen, there's fallout
from this in counseling centers all over the country. And you may talk about it as being a First Amendment right and freedom of expression, which it does, but that doesn't mean that a lot of people aren't being hurt. If families are being hurt, children are being hurt, and yeah, I care about that.
Well, listen, when you deftly characterize anybody being hurt that way, anybody who's hurt, I care about it too. By the way, you got to remember, you and I agree on the indoor prostitution thing. So, and I disagree, at least in principle, with Ms. Andiu on what she thinks about this. Yet her business seems to be of much more of a resource center and clinical nature. In fact, would it surprise you that major university hospitals employ her in the field of helping, you know, potential gynecologists to learn how to do her work? Seems to me that she's got a very...
Sure, but every medical school needs someone to allow the students to examine.
As if that's some pedestrian, not impressive exercise. You seem to have diminished that concept.
I don't care. Like I said, I'm not impressed one way or the other. Every medical school employs somebody to do that.
At the end of the day, for the record, you have not had any influence at all with Pawtucket City Hall, anybody elected or in an appointed position in that government, to suggest to them that they should not allow and or create difficulties through ordinance and or zoning language for her business.
That's correct. I sent one email saying, did they know that this center was opening? That was it. I have had no opinion on it.
Well, wait a second. What was your point in doing that?
To let them know that they wanted to know, and if they wanted to look into it. I have had expressed no opinion to anyone about it.
Well, the very idea that you sent the email with a did you know based on your credibility in the battle against prostitution.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you've given me some credibility.
Well, wait a second. Professor, I got to tell you something. You know, I found you to be credible when you were here. I don't know why your amnesia has kicked in here and you're characterizing me as somebody who doesn't get who you are and what you're trying to do. What I'm suggesting to you, though, is that you may have missed your mark here.
I have no opinion whatsoever.
Very idea. Listen, you're very smart. May I say something here?
No, because you keep trying to put me into this box that I don't exist in. That I have not talked to the mayor.
The listeners,
that I have not written to them with any recommendations.
Professor,
I have not emailed them any recommendations.
I hear that.
Okay.
I got that. Now, I don't know why you're taking this tone, but
I'm trying to
react to what you're telling me and what you've told me, and I'm going to repeat this again, and let's see if we can start the conversation again.
Okay.
With your credibility, which is vast in the prostitution analysis world, when you send an email to someone simply saying, do you know that this business is trying to open up? It is an opinion. It does not come from hey, guess what? I hear the sky is going to be blue today.
Well, now you're adding more to it than it actually exists.
Well, come on. I mean, it's like, you know, none of us are stupid. None of us are stupid. When Donna Hughes steps up and says, hey, check this out, there's a reason.
I said, are you aware? And when they looked into it, they found things that were disturbing enough that they did not want it in Pawtucket. Okay.
They found
that
things
was their
like
decision.
What?
They that found, was not my decision.
What did they find?
I did not tell them.
How do you know about these things that they found? How do you? You're suggesting that you know they found things You just said they found things.
Okay, that's what I read in the paper. I have not discussed this with the mayor. I have not talked to any town council person in Pawtucket.
All right, professor, it's good to hear from you. Appreciate the time, Donna Hughes, URI professor. 4:22. Gem Plumbing On Time Traffic Center and the Burger King Regional was just on the broadcast as she, she answered the question differently, quite differently, in the two ways that I put it to her. If you just tuned in, this is quite a saga. I never expected this conversation to last more than 40 minutes because I was interested. I had seen Bob Kerr's column in the Providence Journal about this business, which is, and listen, if the kids are in the car, I haven't used the Jeopardy warning. Regular listeners know that I do that kind of as tongue-in-cheek to give you some space with the kids. But this is a business. This is a news story, although it's provocative. So, you know, make it as, I'm buying 10 seconds of time here. If you got to make a call, make a call. This column was written about this woman who is trying to open up a business called the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, and she's located in the Grant Building in Pawtucket. Megan Andieu is the founder director, and she's been my guest here since the open of the show, because the conversation just kept getting more interesting, not in terms of the sexuality issues, but of the politics and the business of this whole thing. And she's been kind enough to stay, did not want to engage Professor Hughes for reasons that she's been counseled on, and I respect that. But she's here to be able to respond to some of the things that Professor Hughes has said. Now, let me say a couple of things. Professor Hughes, for some reason, look, Professor Hughes is a fighter. So am I. But that was a very professional conversation. She tried to suggest that I was putting her in a box. I was not putting her in a box. I'm asking questions about what she's done to impact Pawtucket City Hall's thwarting of the opening of this business. My guest, Ms. Andieu, has suggested that Professor Donna Hughes has been, well, you paraphrase now that you're back on the air, instrumental, a component of, part of your challenge. How would you correct?
I would say the start of the challenge.
The start of the challenge.
Yes.
Clearly, she doesn't buy your act. I mean, she refers to you in a op-ed piece that she wrote back in June under the headline Carnival of Prostitution as the tattooed woman calling herself a, quote, sexologist and sex educator, end quote. Spoke up against the bill. She's also a reporter for a prostitutes magazine called Spread. By the way, she called you a prostitute.
She did.
Yeah.
I do not call myself a prostitute. And
Have you ever had sex for money?
No. No, I have not. I have never engaged in the legal activities of. I have not. And I think it's interesting that she said that they don't like to call themselves the sex radicals, as she put it. They don't like to call themselves prostitutes. I don't like calling myself something I'm not. I don't like calling myself a counselor because I'm not. I don't like calling myself an accountant because I'm not.
I have to admit, you've been pretty disciplined in terms of how you've talked about how you want to run your clinic. So, although I'll tell you, if I were your father, I would be saying you are a handful. I'm serious.
The last born always is.
Jesus, Mary and St. Joseph. Excuse my French, but you are just, Lord, I'm sorry. You're hard work. I'm going to come out of here exhausted today. And it's not for the reasons that people might think. I mean, you're hard work. I mean, you're just, your interest in this field
mm-hmm.
is diverse.
It is.
And the application is diverse.
Yes.
So where you can find yourself in a very medical setting on a Thursday, you can find yourself in some kink freak show the next day.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So but you've never sold yourself sexually. You're not a prostitute.
No. Nope.
And this is really interesting because, you know, I'm a pretty conservative guy on X number of levels. I mean, I am just as typical. So and people know this about me, and I'm going to reaffirm it. I am a boring, dumb jock who does a talk show, you know, with all the Irish Catholic guilt you could possibly muster up, all right? So while we're in this conversation about domination and dominatrix and all this kind of stuff, and full clarity, I mean, I had to look at a website because you knew that this was going to come up, and so I was not surprised when Professor Hughes you know, brought up the domination thing. You know, the website that you're on where you're showing somebody a body part type of thing is like, okay. Although it's clinical, you're clothed. It's just, it's heavy. But getting back to where we are here, folks, even though I am, for the most part, a pretty conservative thinker on X number of levels, you know, I'm no prude, nor am I a party pooper. And I understand that there are people who have a variety of interests in their human sexuality, a variety of interests. And unless they are violating the law, they ought to be able to learn about the health of it, the clinical aspect of it, the strategies of it.
Yes.
All of those things.
Yes.
It is not for me to judge. If you're going to operate a business that deals in it,
mm-hmm.
I don't want the physical evidence of the resource center to be bleeding over into the little mall known as the Grant Building.
Right.
And the store is there, I'm sure. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
People who are interested in domination.
Yep.
They're gonna walk in there with whips and chains and leather jackets and the kind of stuff that they may.
I can't control what people wear, but usually they don't. Usually people who are engaged in kink activities try to blend in.
But your clinic, by the way, mm-hmm. is not a domination clinic.
No.
This is a vast business that you want to be in. As I characterized the professor, the 70-year-old guy who's thinking, for the years I got left on this planet, which he hopes are up plenty, he'd like to be able to. In fact, let me just, as an example, just the funny kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the golf course last weekend with a couple of guys who are 65 plus.
Okay.
And it was just, I don't know why this comes roaring back to me, but I was talking about how, I'm teeing the ball up and I'm like, oh, because my back hurts. I'm like, God, it's tough getting old. And so that goes, and something else goes. We were talking, I couldn't see the scorecard because I can't write, because I can't read without my glasses.
Okay.
I said, that goes, this goes, and one of the guys who I was playing with goes, and guess what else goes? And we laughed. We knew exactly what he was talking about.
Right.
Well, if that guy doesn't want it to go anymore,
mm-hmm.
He's 72, 73, and he's thinking, you know what? Why does it have to go? He might come to a place like yours
mm-hmm.
to learn about, if not...
what options he has.
And what you could refer to.
Correct.
It could be a urologist.
Correct.
It could be all those kinds of things.
Correct.
But you're not going to sit there and manipulate him.
No.
You're not going to turn him on.
No.
You're going to give him an education on how he might... put that fire back in his life.
Exactly.
Okay, or point him to that place.
Correct.
That's not a prostitute, folks. There might be people who are interested in domination.
Correct.
There might be people who are just the straightest people in the world and want to keep it that way.
That's right.
And then there are people who are worrying about the physical issues involved and, oh my God, I got high blood pressure and, can I do this while I'm, whatever. And you might say, not quite my field, but here's the doctor you need to talk to.
Correct.
All right. So that's the nature of the business. So she calls you a dominatrix. Are you a dominatrix?
No.
Well, explain your role in talking to people about dominatrix and whatever.
My role in talking about dominatrixes is that they exist.
Taught college kids how to use whips?
I do what's a sex toy presentation at colleges, and the last 10 minutes goes over spanking materials. And so I ask if there's any volunteers, and there's usually a group of people that try to run up, and I collect three, and I say there's a difference between this, this, and this.
Okay.
But I am not an educator on spanking. I have no aim.
No aim.
No aim whatsoever.
Meaning you'll miss somebody.
I will
miss
and hurt and
okay.
hurt them.
That's humor. That's, by the way, folks, I guess that's dominatrix humor. Here is what Ms. Hughes, Professor Hughes, wrote to all the elected officials. Let's put it this way. Many elected officials, all of whom forwarded her email to each other under under the text sex center to open in Pawtucket. I think, isn't that? Actually, I got it right here in my BlackBerry. Sex center coming to Pawtucket was the subject line. She writes, hello, a center for sexual rights and sexual pleasure is opening in Pawtucket. Signed, Donna Hughes. Look, Donna Hughes is no dope. And Donna Hughes knows exactly what she's doing when she sends that email out. It also linked to your website,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't done yet. What is on your website?
The website, the only thing that's on the website is the itinerary for the grand opening.
Which included a potential raffle for some toys?
There was a raffle for toys, and there was a three-minute burlesque show that was going to take on. Girls had tops on and tops and bottoms on.
And why were you going to do that if this clinic was going to be much more educational resourcey than gimmicky in nature?
It was really a buffer because I was going to have the girls go on between me and the panel speakers. And when the city first admitted said this is violating city zoning laws, I said, okay, it's 3 minutes out of a 3-hour presentation. Gone. Like, I have no problem. And forwarded them all the information saying it had been canceled, removed, updated the website, updated my printed materials, all of it.
All right. I'm looking at your website right now. The Big O sponsors. What the hell is that? These are products?
Those are products that were donated. Products. Yep. All medically safe materials that are recommended
by... Foreplay sponsors.
I came up with cute sponsor titles.
Okay. She writes that email. She affected City Hall. You're absolutely consistent. Were you not told at least by one person in play in City Hall that there's a, like, you should know that the mayor and Professor Hughes are working on?
I was told that.
Explain. You were told.
I was told that.
By somebody in law enforcement.
By someone employed by the city that. Okay. Hughes and the mayor were friendly in terms of anti-trafficking, and perhaps I should know that. I was...
All right. Okay, 448. Jen Plum, I do want to hear what you folks think about this. Look, you know, this business is not everybody's bag, you know, but God almighty. If you walked by it, you wouldn't know it if it hit you, right? Can we keep our mic on? I'm sorry.
The councilman didn't know. They had walked by and they didn't even know
didn't
it was
even
there.
Didn't even know it was there.
No.
I mean, it's not even as provocative as that girl that we had in here, Pashanati. Boy, you're networked in, aren't you? What is her name?
Trisha.
I mean, it's not like you're walking around with the Santa Claus baby doll thing or anything like that. God bless us. 449 on the Jim Plumbing on Time Traffic Center and the Burger King Regional Traffic Update. All right, I only have a minute and a half or so with my guest, who I am going to say thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me,
Megan, and to you. Bottom line is, you're going to continue to battle for this center in Pawtucket. You don't want a new location. You've put $8,000 worth of money. You love the location.
Mm-hmm.
And you think once all this blows over, you'll do very well there.
Correct.
The people around you there are supportive.
They are.
There are some medical personnel who could step up and actually give you credibility in terms of some of the professional application of your work.
Yes.
Although the professor gives it no credibility.
Nope.
Like any human walking dummy could sit there and spread their legs for a gynecologist.
Or
which is,
create the program.
And you created the program. Your husband is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I did get an email from Justin Katz from AnchorRising.com who indicates to me that on his bio, he indicates that he's a future abortion provider.
Yes.
Can you give me a 30-second explanation on that?
Medical students aren't being trained on how to do abortions, and he is learning how to do that. And uh-huh. That's how the medical profession refers to
but
it.
But he doesn't wear that on his chest like it's, you know, ha-ha, something to, like, is he a zealot in the field of abortions? Is he a... It's tough because I'm staunchly pro-life, and
right.
So I don't want to throw a subjective notion into this. But is it part of his the part of the thing?
He's trained on how.
Do you want to do abortions at this site?
No.
No, he wants to do that as part of his
later on down the road.
None of that kind of stuff would happen. Even if you end up growing medical services in your business, that's not what he's going to do.
No.
All right.
It's not turning into an abortion center.
Right. Bottom line. You just want to open up your business.
Yes.
All right, let's stay in touch, all right?
Sounds good.
We'll talk about you in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be right back on the Dan York Show. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.